Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
What you think about that, DA?
Happy Friday to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's a good day to be alive, as they all are. Coming up this hour, Takeo Spikes is going to join us here on the show. We'll have him drop on by the program at about 40 minutes past the hour, former Pro Bowl linebacker. You know, our friend Kenny Brock, formerly of the Wheels of Steel, now of the Overnights, or formerly of the Overnights, rather, he's now working on the TV side of things, and we here on the show are always looking for eating challenges or creative ways to eat bad food. Have we gotten our wienership act together yet?
We have not. It's hard securing celebrity contestants, if you will.
Wow.
Have you held up your end where you were supposed to contact some people about some food? Did you do that?
I have not.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have not. But I'll do that. Anyway, Brock tweets out a picture that Pringles has a top ramen flavor now.
I just saw that. I'm actually very intrigued by it.
I kind of am as well. I like ramen.
I don't hate ramen either. I don't understand the ramen fad in this country lately, but I will definitely try the chip.
Is there's a ramen fad?
Well, ramen always used to be looked at as like the cheap thing kids eat in their college dorm, right?
Of course, yeah.
Now everywhere you pop up, especially in New York City, there's like ramen noodle restaurants where it's like cool to eat ramen.
Like high-end ramen.
Right, like high-end ramen. Like that's the cool thing to eat. Like I got to go have it, where it was once looked at as the poor thing to eat.
Yes. Well, yeah, if you don't make any money or have any money, or if you're a poor college kid and whatever, and mom's not giving you any money, you got to eat ramen because it does fill you up, and it's like, what, 35 cents a carton or something like that?
Something like that.
But I will say this, think about this. Generationally speaking, if you grew up eating ramen as a college kid, once you're out into the real world and finally have a job that pays you a little bit of money, maybe you then seek ramen.
I don't buy that theory, okay? Because as has been noted on the show, spent 10 years as a sandwich artist for Subway Restaurants,
yes,
Incorporated,
you did.
Okay?
Yes, yeah.
I have not touched a Subway sandwich, cookie, or chip in the time since where I've entered the radio world.
10 years you were in the Subway family. Since then, how long is that? About 10 years?
Well, no, because I still kind of transitioned. I did a little Subway, a little part-time WFAN work together.
Yeah.
Since I became full-time with the DA show and the mothership and boarded the mothership for the first time in 2013,
yeah.
I had quit Subway, and I have never looked back or even had the inkling to be in the mood, let's say, for an Italian BMT or an Italian herbs and cheese bread.
Okay.
And I could still make every sandwich and tell you all the ingredients and do all that. But so my point is, if you were in love with ramen in college and that's all you ate and you were poor and that's all you ate it, I find it hard to believe that you come out of college craving ramen.
It's interesting. Well, there's got to be a reason for this ramen boom. I will say that I'm surprised at you, because every time I am within two blocks of a Subway, I can smell it. And I'm like, that smells amazing. I know there's a Subway around here.
It does
smell
amazing.
My nose has been trained to smell a Subway from blocks away.
You have to understand something. When you work at Subway, and anybody out there listening who's ever worked at it, that something about the smell remembers you. If I walk into a Subway now, that smell will stick on my clothes for 2 days. Yeah. It's a clingy smell that remembers who was there.
Yeah, I could see
that. The fallen soldiers.
Yeah, I could see that. So USA Today did a list of the most overrated, overpaid players in the NFL. Okay, fine. This is always an interesting list. It's the NFL. It's June, now July. These are the dead months of the football season, so we've got to find ways to make football palatable and interesting. A couple of names on this list. Josh Norman, a high cap hit, $20 million. Good cornerback, not a shutdown corner in a man-to-man defense. They put in there Dez Bryant, cap hit $17 million. I disagree. I'm a big Dez Bryant fan, but they've got him on the list. They put Kobe Fleener at number 9. Fleener making $7.5 million, but he has a bunch of drops. Again, I can't kill them on Fleener because he does have a bunch of drops. I'm just not putting him in the top 10 of most overpaid players. Number 6, they put Jason Witten, noting that at nearly $13 million in terms of a cap hit, very high for a tight end, getting at this point in his career, maybe not bringing you the same production he used to. They put Brock Osweiler on there. Okay, great. I totally agree. Yes, Osweiler, as we all know, wildly overpaid. Tavon Austin, a cap hit of nearly $15 million. Another botched, broken, ridiculous contract or personnel decision made by Jeff Fisher and the Rams front office. They drafted Tavon Austin too high. The guy is a decent slot receiver, not a great one, and a special teams guy, and yet they continue to pay him big bucks like he's a number one, like he's Julio Jones, and it's ridiculous and stupid. But you expect that from the Rams. Clay Matthews, they put at number 2, a $15 million cap hit. And obviously, Clay Matthews' best days as a pass rusher are over. Okay, I can buy it. But at number 1, they listed Joe Flacco as the biggest, most overpaid bust in the NFL. At least the most overpaid guy in the league. With a $24 million cap hit. And okay, I can understand if you look at Joe Flacco at $24.5 million and go, should he be paid like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have a really high ceiling like a Derek Carr. You kind of know what you're going to get from Joe Flacco, fine. But I got to tell you, I am sick and tired of the crushing Joe Flacco crowd. I really am. I think it's just become so easy and so cliche to trash Joe Flacco because, number one, he doesn't put up eye-popping, spectacular regular season numbers, so he's not going to play in a video game-type offense. Number two, because he's boring. The guy is boring. Yes, he's boring. He's Joe Flacco. He's like Heller on updates. I'm not getting much more from him. I realize that. Maybe Heller will twist a cupcake every so often. But I'm not going to him for a hot take. Same with Joe Flacco. I'm not going to Joe Flacco and having him go co-host Jeopardy like Aaron Rodgers does. Or be at the Nick Choice Awards like Russell Wilson. But I'm getting good quarterbacking. And I'm sick and tired of people forgetting the guy had one of the greatest statistical playoff runs in NFL history, and it wasn't that long ago. This guy won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl, and in that postseason, had 4 Joe Montana or Tom Brady-esque playoff games. And okay, maybe one playoff run doesn't make a guy a Hall of Famer, but every single year Joe Flacco throws for more touchdowns than interceptions. Every single year he's at or around 4,000 yards. Every single year he has a solid quarterback rating. And I don't know, do you think that the Ravens have surrounded Joe Flacco with a huge, potent set of offensive aerial weapons? Rashad Perriman has not lived up to the billing. They got Steve Smith at the very tail end of his career. They got Mike Wallace again as kind of a scrap heap guy. I mean, Mraz, who have they given Dennis Pitta? Who have they given Joe Flacco weapons for where they should be expecting more than 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns. They don't run that offense.
No, they don't. And everybody they've drafted has done like an ample job. Like Torrey Smith did an ample job for
fine.
A long time.
Yes,
fine.
And they won a Super Bowl with
him. But again, yeah, when you're drafting a Torrey Smith or a Breshad Perriman who was hurt for his first year, you're not exactly drafting Odell Beckham Jr. or Julio Jones to put in that spot either. You're putting a lot on Flacco's back. And you even had that point with that last year with Ray Rice where you just had the struggling run game. They have just pitter-pattered with their offensive chemistry, and Flacco has made the best of what he's had.
Over the course of his career, he has thrown for nearly 70 more touchdowns than INTs. He has a quarterback rating in the 90s. And his quarterback win-loss record is 30 games over 500. His only losing season as a starting quarterback was 2015 when he was injured for 6 games and the team was a nightmare. He went 3-7. Every other year, he's been 8-8 or better. A couple of 10-6s in there, a couple of 12-4s and 11-5. Joe Flacco's not a Hall of Famer. But Joe Flacco shouldn't continually be called the most overrated guy or the worst contract or anything else that people want to attach him to simply because he's boring. In 2012, when he wins a Super Bowl, and oh, by the way, if Ravens fans, all you get out of the Joe Flacco era is a Super Bowl, you've got to be pretty happy with it. Okay? Seriously. I mean, you got a guy out of Delaware to be your starting quarterback for 10 or 12 years, and you won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying every single year you should be kosher with 8-8. I'm just saying to crap all over Joe Flacco, ignore the fact that he got your ring. He single-handedly, in a lot of ways, because that defense was no longer the strength. I mean, you had basically Ray Lewis with a RoboCop arm over there, an aging Ed Reed, an aging Terrell Suggs. That was not the elite defense it had been earlier in Flacco's career. In 2012, it's all Flacco. In the first round against the Colts, he throws for 282, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions in the win. Divisional round at Denver, that was the huge upset of the Broncos out there in Denver. He outduels Peyton Manning, throws for 331 and 3 touchdowns, and the busted coverage in overtime that they went on, or at the end of regulation that they went on. Then, AFC Championship game at New England, throws for 240, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. One of the greatest quarterback playoff games ever in Foxborough by a road QB. I'm telling you, if you remember that AFC Championship game, very tight in the first half, but Flacco never made any mistakes. Second half, Patriots defense, he started to figure out, went down the field, took advantage of some situations, threw 3 touchdowns, no picks, and they pulled away for a win. They went to New England, and the Ravens won by 2 touchdowns with Joe Flacco at the helm. AFC title game.
And if Lee Evans doesn't drop a pass the year before, they're in a Super Bowl too, and he wins in New England again.
Correct. He would have had, if Lee Evans does not drop that touchdown pass, he would have had back-to-back AFC Championship game wins at Foxborough. And then in the Super Bowl, throws for 287, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So, in 4 games in the playoffs, he threw for 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 120. Super Bowl MVP. He didn't deserve that contract. He did deserve that contract. Now, could you ever bank on him doing that again? Maybe not. Maybe not. But I'll tell you this. His last playoff game, he could have easily won that game as well in New England. Remember? That was the game where the Patriots broke out that junk offense and they slid everybody off of the offensive line. And the Ravens didn't know what was going on. The Ravens had 2 14-point leads. Remember? The Ravens, I believe, led 14-0 and 28-14 in that game. And that's when Julian Edelman threw the wide receiver pass for the touchdown. Joe Flacco is that close from having 4, right? I think it's 4 because I think he won earlier than that at New England. Okay? Yeah, he did because he was the quarterback on that team that blew out the Patriots in the wild card round a couple of years ago. He is that close from having 4 wins in Foxborough as a playoff quarterback. And he was great in that game against New England. He threw for 4 touchdowns in that game and 300 yards. and gave them two 14-point leads. To keep calling him the most overrated or overpaid or worst contract in the NFL, I just think is wrong. I just think it's just flat out easy to trash him because he's a boring guy. But man, the guy's gotten it done. He's had some bad moments, don't get me wrong. He's had some underwhelming regular season games, don't get me wrong. The defense was great and carried him early in his career. But man, to land atop the list of worst contracts in the NFL, most overrated, most overpaid, I just completely disagree. When we return, a freezing Social Security motive as part of your dummership. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
I'll take that. Can that be my sound effect for the show?
Yeah, sure.
Sick.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get you your dummership coming up here momentarily. But a little reminder, watch the show on your phone. It's very cool. If your local affiliate doesn't have us or maybe you're outside of your normal listening area, just pop on watchda.com on your phone and you can watch us. Perfect stream on your phone. It's mobile friendly whenever you want. The digital broadcast is great. The guys over here behind the glass do a great job of producing it. Today it's Venezia on it. He's a master at the controls of the digital broadcast. So check it out. It's very cool. WatchDA.com on your phone or on your PC or laptop. Kevin's in Ohio, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1240. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning, man. Here comes my ex-wife. Could you beat me up?
Get away. Run away right now.
Oh, man, good looking. I don't know how Matthew Stafford missed that list. But what I called to ask you is, are we paying for past performance or future expectations?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. In reality, if you don't pay Joe Flacco that money, somebody else will because of that past performance. So you can lose him and say he's not worth the money, or you can pay him the money that somebody else would. And then you also hope that you're going to get that out of him. But I think it's also unrealistic to think he's going to have a Joe Montana postseason every single year, especially since the rest of the team around him is not good enough to get to the playoffs. So I don't blame the Ravens for giving him that deal at all.
No, I feel like you said he'll walk.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, this is what Washington's dealing with Kirk Cousins. They can franchise him, which they're doing, or they can give him huge money, which you might go, well, does Kirk Cousins deserve huge money? But if you don't, the 49ers will. If you don't, somebody else will. So that's fine if you feel like you've got a better option. But do you have a better option? Do you want to go through the cycle of finding a quarterback again? For the Baltimore Ravens, Bart Scott joins us every week during the football season. Bart's stories about the quarterbacks he played with are hysterical, but they're sad. He talks about all these incredible defenses he played on with Ray, with Ed, with Suggs, with everybody else, McAllister, all these shut down, aggressive, physically violent defenses. And he goes, we had no quarterback. He goes, I never played with a real quarterback outside of the 1 year with Steve McNair. I mean, he's talking about trash QBs. Trash. They called Anthony Wright Anthony Wrong to his face in the locker room, and he was their starting quarterback. Bart tells stories about, yeah, we would come in, defense would look at the quarterback, quarterback would have eyes as wide as, you know, silver dollars, and be like, okay, guess we're going to do it on our own. I guess the defense has to win this game again, you know, knowing that the quarterback and the offense was going to give them nothing. So if you lived in that world, if you're Ozzie Newsome, and you could, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl for him. They got rid of him the next summer. That he didn't even come back after winning the Super Bowl. Do you just give up on Joe Flacco after a historic Super Bowl run? You've never had a quarterback in the Ravens franchise history that has been a solid starting QB for more than 3 or 4 years. Ever. Then finally you get one that brings you to a Super Bowl and has a Joe Montana postseason, and then you're not going to pay him what the market's going to say? Of course. You have to. So I have no problem whatsoever with the Ravens paying him that money. And I just don't think he's the most overpaid player in the NFL. I just think he's an easy mark because he's boring. All right, let's bring you your dumber shit, boys and girls.
You earthlings are strange life forms. DA, should we really highlight these weirdos?
Being weird is not a crime.
It's your latest installment of The Dumber Ship.
Shockingly, we're going down to Florida for this morning's Dumber Ship. I'm pretty sure we could just do a Dumber Ship that's all Florida stories. In Florida, there was a man who in 2002 lost his wife to old age. Alan Dunn had his wife Margaret Dunn pass away at their home in 02. At that point, to save the Social Security checks coming in for Margaret Dunn, his wife, he put her body in a freezer in the home. Now, this is just a normal guy. This is not some weird, wild-eyed meth head. This is just a normal guy that was living in a condo in Florida that goes, well, my wife passed away, God rest her soul, but I kind of want those checks to keep coming in, so let's not have a funeral. And instead of me burying her in the backyard, I'll just put her in an economy-sized freezer. You know, it's like Sam's Club. Just put her in the freezer right next to, like, the Lender's Bagels, like, 30-pack. And then we'll just keep her there, and I'll have beautiful Margaret Dunn, my wife, in the basement in the Costco-sized freezer.
Certainly better than sprinkling them over Gettysburg.
Correct. He then collected her Social Security benefits for 8 years until 2010 and his own death. Okay? So upon his own death, they were like, well, now you're dead, and so where's your wife? And then at that point, they realized, oh, she's in the freezer, and oh, you don't get the Social Security checks anymore, and now you've got to pay it back. And so this story is that just the other day, the family was then ordered to pay the $15,000 in back Social Security checks that he was getting after all these years, because they're like, yeah, the wife was dead. So it begs the question, for $15,000, again, $15,000, is it worth it to freeze your wife? And what is going on to the rest of the family? Doesn't anybody wonder where Aunt Margaret is? Doesn't anyone wonder what's going on? Like, every time you call Grandpa's house, Grandma's never around to talk to her? She's in the bathroom again. Again? Yeah, she's out shopping again. Again? I haven't talked to her in 6 years, Grandpa. How did nobody in the family realize Grandma was in a freezer for 8 years?
Don't ask Grandpa if he's got a pint of Breyers in there, huh?
Nobody came over to the house and asked where Margaret was. Nobody called to see where she was. 8 years.
She's at yoga again.
At yoga again. Taking a walk on the boardwalk again. You just missed her. Like, how many excuses?
Why isn't she at Christmas? Bronchitis.
Yeah. How many excuses do you have to make to hide Grandma for 8 years? I mean, luckily he didn't kill her. That would be really morbid. She just died of old age, and he's like, I still need the checks. Is it worth it for the $15,000 over 8 years? Is it really worth it? Was that really worth it? The condo has been sold, and now, well, I guess, I'm sorry, it wasn't just $15,000. It was $92,000. But then they took away, now that they sold the condo that he owned, they took away some of the value of that. I guess they collected in other ways and found out. Now he just basically has to cut a check. That family does for 15 grand. Could you imagine also being his kids and going like, oh, I owe 15 grand because Grandpa hid Grandma in the freezer for 8 years? Oh, now that's my problem? I mean, it's always something amazing in Florida. That is your dumber ship. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Trades are scary. When a player leaves your team, you can't like them anymore. You can't even wear their jersey, except here they don't judge. Others might. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Pirates and Cubs, two NL Central teams, disappointing sub-500 records, play at 2 o'clock Eastern today at Wrigley. Trevor Williams taking the mound for Pittsburgh. Eddie Butler throwing for the Cubs. Eddie Butler sounds like a player that would be on the Cubs in 1908. Eddie Butler, he goes out there and throws a mean baseball. Kyle Schwarber recalled from AAA yesterday, went 0-0 for 4 for the Cubs in the 11-2 blowout loss to Milwaukee. Cubs are 4.5 back of the Brewers for first place in the National League Central, despite being World Series defending champions. When we come back here on the show, Takeo Spikes, former NFL Pro Bowl linebacker, is going to join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
DA, how are you liking the new location so far, sir? I listen to CBS loyally on a regular basis.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate everybody's loyalty here on the show that has made the show a success. Thanks to all of you guys that have listened out there and tweeted out there and followed out there and all that goodness. The D-Aliens always mean a lot.
All right.
Joining us next is former Pro Bowl linebacker in the NFL and also part of the new book, Behind the Mask, where he has taken photographs and had personal interviews as well with some of the greatest linebackers of all time in the book. Takeo Spikes joining us here on the show. Takeo, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. This is a very cool book that goes behind some of the greatest linebackers in NFL history, the late Chuck Bednarik, Mike Singletary, Derek Brooks. We know there's so many others, Lawrence Taylor, Dick Butkus. In your estimation, who was the greatest linebacker in NFL history?
You know what? I truly can't say that. I used to say that before I actually played and got into the league, but everybody is different in their own era. Now, what I can say is, to me, I think all of the guys in my book, all of them dominated their era when they played. So for me, that makes them part of the best of all times when it comes to finding out who is the best of all times. I have a bunch of good ones, as you already named a few, Mike Singletary, Harry Carson, Bobby Bell, Chuck Bednarik. Okay, Ricky Jackson, Ted Hendricks, you know, love Ted Hendricks' story because he is one of the most decorated linebackers to actually be in my book when you talk about guys who not only played the game at a high level, but when you talk about guys who actually played on great teams, and we know how hard it is to play on a great team, but Ted, he did an awesome job as far as taking advantage of everything that was given to him, four-time Super Bowl champion, eight-time Pro Bowler. And what was crazy, four-time first-team All-Pro, five-time second-team All-Pro. And for me, for him to be able to go and win a Super Bowl with two different teams, that's awesome, man, with the Raiders and also the Packers, that's awesome.
Let's start in your college days as well, because you played against some of the best when you were at Auburn in the SEC, including a couple of key battles against Peyton Manning. What was it like in college trying to match wits against a guy like Peyton when he was at Tennessee?
It was tough because it truly forced you as a defending player to understand the big picture. So you come into a game preparing for Peyton Manning. You have to come into the game understanding the why. You know, why is Peyton doing this? Why is he doing that? Or how did he do it? Or how did he know? And so it forced you as a defender to understand, hey, you can't go into a game tunnel vision. You can't go in understanding only what you have to do. You have to understand what everybody is doing around you and why. And so when you play against quarterbacks like that, in particular Peyton Manning, he is going to make you raise your level of awareness. That's the best way to put it.
When you faced off against him in the pros as well, did you see the same kind of thing that you saw from Peyton in college, or did you see him elevate to even a different level, evolve into a different type of quarterback?
Well, you saw the early stages of it, but when he got into the league, they gave him more range. They gave him, you know, more range to do certain things, and a lot of it had to do with just time. You know, as you're a student athlete in college, you only have so much time, so it's only so much that you can digest. But when it became his profession, the same things that I saw in college, he took them to another level by changing the entire play. I remember several times playing against him when he was in Indy. I remember he couldn't hear the call coming in from the sideline. So he was just, I saw him throw his hand down like, oh, I got it. You know, and he puts his team in a better position to win. And I think the biggest thing when I look at Peyton Manning is with Peyton, I remember this play. It was at the end of both of our careers. He was with Denver. I was with San Diego. And we had the perfect scheme, blitz, coming at it. And I specifically remember defensive coordinator John Pagano saying, when we get this look, this is what we have to do, and there's no way nobody can tip it off. You can't be on your tiptoes. You cannot give it away. I don't know how Peyton did it. He knew we were coming with the blitz, and I went back to look at the film to see if anybody tipped it off so I could chew them out, and they didn't. He changed the play. Ultimately, that play ended up in a 35-yard touchdown pass.
Wow.
And I'm still pissed about it today.
That's an amazing story. Wow. Takeo Spikes, 15 years in the NFL as a linebacker, joining us here on the show. So you are looking at the scope of the NFL and all of these signings, and Colin Kaepernick is unsigned. Do you find that to be a problem? Do you find that to just simply be, hey, if there's no market for you, what are you going to do? How do you see that?
Well, I find it to be a problem that people think, or other analysts sit up and say, well, there's no market for him. And I'm like, really? Where do you get your credentials from if you think there's not a market for him? Now, let's be honest. He's not coming into anybody's team this late to be a starting quarterback. That's being Captain Obvious. But for somebody to say there's not a market for him, I look at all the other quarterbacks that were on the block same time, but they have been signed, picked up, and I look at their body of work over the past few previous years compared to Colin Kaepernick. And I look at Brian Hoyer, which, by the way, I actually still have faith in Brian Hoyer. I like Brian Hoyer. I just think he was put in some bad positions or put on bad teams, didn't have enough good fruit around him to be able to really highlight his talents. 2 years, $12 million, Brian Hoyer. Josh McCown. He went to Cleveland, coming from Tampa, I want to say. And, like, I mean, Josh McCown, he gets a one-year deal, $6 million with the Jets. In the past three seasons, 2-20, okay, Matt Barkley, San Francisco, 14 interceptions in seven games, six of the games he started. Mark Sanchez. All right, last year, 18 passing attempts, two interceptions, 1 year, $2 million with the Bears. Geno Smith signed with the Giants. I mean, we all know about Geno. Case Keenum started 24 of 26 games, 0-8 as a season starter as a rookie. Now he's on with the Vikings. So, you know, when people say there's not a market for him, no. It's a market for him, because that's the reason why they pay quarterbacks all of the money, because there's not enough good ones out there. The problem is I truly think that owners believe that he will be bad for their business, and they don't want the political views coming in clouding what they're doing as far as their brand, which is NFL football. I truly believe that, and I think that's the bottom line. And until until owners or until Colin can find a way to communicate with the majority of the decision makers, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, that, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to play. I'm focused. But at the same time, you have to understand I'm a person too. So for me, just talking about my views have nothing to do, or I'm trying, nor that I'm not trying to come into a locker room and separate a locker room with my views. I'm just letting you know this is where I stand, and I'm not going to stray away from it.
Takeo Spikes joining us here on the show, joining us to talk a little football. You ended your career with the San Diego Chargers. Speaking of a quarterback that has some leadership qualities, how did you view Phillip Rivers as a leader of the huddle, a leader of a franchise, a leader on the field?
I love it. Love Phillip Rivers, one of the best quarterbacks I played with. And, you know, the thing I liked about Phillip is not only does he put in the work, but he is very, very intuitive as far as understanding what you're putting in, understanding what's being presented in front of him. And when you have a player like that who's able to understand and dissect plays before they even happen, a la Peyton Manning, what we talked about a few minutes ago, that's when players start to take their game to the next level. And I think Phillip Rivers has been a product of, you know what, I think Phillip is a very great quarterback, but at the end of the day, when you playing, when you're shuffling wide receivers out, when you're shuffling personnel out, as the San Diego Chargers have been doing over the past 7-8 years, it's hard to get that continuity, especially amongst the offensive line. And when you don't have a true running game to be able to make people stay honest and coaching changes, I applaud Phillip Rivers because he has been able to perform in every case situation that he has been put in, every time. And that's the reason why I have so much respect for him, because I know how hard it is playing 15 years in this league, not at the quarterback position, but I played on 5 different teams. And so for me to be nominated captain 13 out of 15 years, it goes to show you the respect that other players have for Phillip Rivers and the respect that that front office has for Phillip Rivers from the San Diego Chargers.
Give me a life lesson on being a leader. When did you want to become a leader? Why is it important for you to be a leader? You were a natural one, as you said. You were voted captain 13 out of 15 years. What is it about that position that fit well with your personality and why you value that so much?
Well, I think the value comes in is anytime you're doing anything in life, we all need help. And I don't think it's so much the first person who is going to start the movement, but it's the second person who actually makes everybody else feel comfortable that you're following the first person. And so when you talk about leadership, it's not something to where you raise your hand in the classroom and say, hey, today I am going to be a leader. No, it's something I truly believe that's born inside of you. And you understand in order for us to get to where we need to go as the greater of the good, somebody has to take a step out on faith and understand I have to be the one to hold everybody accountable. But more than anything, my play has to speak for itself. That's number one. And then number two, with that personality like that, you have to have some type of foresight to be able to give guys and help them understand, because as players, you learn a lot from your coaches, but you learn so much more from the guys that you play with. And I think that's one of the most important aspects of having leadership ability.
Takeo Spikes, 15-year NFL veteran, Pro Bowler, and now has a tremendous new book that is out called Behind the Mask, interviews with some of the greatest linebackers ever to play, including the last interview with Chuck Bednarik and his photographs as well. Check it out, Behind the Mask. You can look at it on the web at behindthemaskbook.com. Takeo, this was a lot of fun. Hey, let's do this again as we creep closer to football season, buddy.
It's time, baby. It's coming up soon.
I know it. Takeo Spikes joining us here on the show. Very cool. Thanks so much. Takeo, you can follow him on Twitter at TakeoSpikes5151. Great stuff. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, at DA on CBS. That guy is a guy whose career intersected with a lot of great players, Hall of Fame players, and some interesting twists and turns in his NFL history. I mean, number one, he's playing for Auburn in the SEC title game in 97 against Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning and the Volunteers beat him by a point, but yet he's still the MVP of that SEC championship game, I believe. Also, he plays for five seasons with the Bengals. They're never better than 6-10. He goes, look, I need a better chance to win, so I'm going to sign somewhere else. He goes to the Buffalo Bills. As soon as he leaves the Bills, the Bengals suddenly get Marvin Lewis and then start stabilizing, go to the playoffs. And the Bills, as we all know, haven't been in the playoffs since 99. A cruel joke because Takeo always played his heart out. When we come back, LeBron and a very creative potential destination next summer. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.